Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Pulitzer Prize-winning film critic Roger Ebert loved the movies.
And for me, the movies are like a machine that generates empathy. It lets you understand a little bit more about different hopes, aspirations, dreams, and fears. It helps us to identify with the people who are sharing this journey with us.
Ebert said he was born inside the movie of his life, and we can now say he died while it was being edited last year after a long struggle with a despicable form of cancer that robbed him of his ability to eat and speak and transformed his face, which we all knew so well from his popular show with Gene Siskel. But as we see in the new film by Steve James, in the end, Ebert's spirit was still there in blogs and tweets and his signature thumbs up. And we also see that someone who so knew the movies was going to make sure the one about him was damn good. The film features his wife, Chaz Ebert, a civil rights lawyer who marched with Martin Luther King. It airs on CNN this Sunday night. It's called Life Itself. Chaz, welcome, and our condolences.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, well, and now you're reminded of this remarkable life. He started his own newspaper when he was a kid. He was a take-no-prisoners editor at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. He was in many ways so quiet and thoughtful. It's so wild to hear about this kind of a wild life that he has had as a young person.
Yes. Roger was, let's just say he lived a very full life. And, you know, he would stand on top of bars telling stories during his drinking days. He got sober, but he loved life.
Well, he could also write. Editor of his college newspaper, The Daily Illini, here his friend William Knack describes the column Roger wrote in 1963 after the bombing of a church in Alabama killed four girls.
He started out his column by quoting Dr. Martin Luther King, who said to George Wallace, "The blood of these innocent children is on your hands." That ended the quote. Then Roger began his column by saying, "That is not entirely the truth. The blood is on so many hands that history will weep in the telling. And it is not new blood. It is old, very old. And as Lady Macbeth discovered, it will not ever wash away."
Roger Ebert became a film reviewer. Remind us why he was such a good one.
Because for him, the movies were not just the movies. The movies really were about life itself. He thought that if you studied movies carefully, that you could get a lesson to let you know what it's like to be a person of another race, of another gender, of another sexual orientation.
Well, he was the film critic for the Sun-Times. Gene Siskel was the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. Huge rivals, and they're put together on a television program, sneak previews. Here, let's just listen to a little. Here they are arguing over Benji the Hunted, Benji the dog.
Okay.
Gene Siskel did not like it.
Benji the Hunted exhausted me. This is the first time I wanted to tell a dog to slow down and stop to smell the flowers.
I don't know, Gene. Your review is the typical sort of blasé, sophisticated, cynical review.
I'll take the word sophisticated.
I would expect from an adult.
Well, you're wrapping yourself in
the flannel. So, Chaz Ebert, with that frisson was what made people love the show. The effect was incredible. There's just a lineup of people in the film who talk about their impact on them. One of them was Martin Scorsese. He says that Siskel and Ebert's support for him turned his life around. But the friendship that he had with Roger Ebert didn't stop Roger from giving Martin a very bad review for The Color of Money. Let's listen to Martin Scorsese reacting as he listens to Siskel and Ebert's review.
It doesn't have the interior energy and the drive and the obsession of most of the best Scorsese films.
The script isn't good.
It's just a standard, sort of predictable narrative.
I said, I know, but the beautiful cast, Michael Ballhaus, Paul Newman, but, you know, they wouldn't accept it. That was a way of condemning and helping.
Yes, Roger had a lot of integrity, and people knew he was going to be honest. But as Martin Scorsese said, it was devastating, but it was not toxic. He said, in fact, that sometimes his criticisms could be constructive and maybe help, you know, when they were making the movie the next time. You know, Roger and Gene really did start off as fierce rivals. In the beginning, they really did not like each other. When they would, even to tape the show, they wouldn't talk to each other. Later in life, of course, they became like brothers, and they actually loved each other by the end of Gene's life.
Gene Siskel also died of a brain cancer.
In 1999.
Before Roger. With this film, you know, you lay it out there in this film. When you say they didn't get along, it's hard to really understand that until you see some of the outtakes that are included in the film. Let's listen. Here they are trying to do a promo together. Well, let's just listen.
I guess you're going
to
do it.
You have to rewrite it, don't we? Because you can't.
Oh, no, let's.
You can't ad-lib, Gene.
Can we do for the last week, and next week we'll do it?
No, every week counts.
You read it, then. You ad-lib it. I'll do nothing. Let him do whatever he wants. It's Thriller Week on Siskel and Ebert in the Movies, and we've got three new ones.
Got to have energy up and the movies out.
Why don't you read both parts?
I'd like to. Get your
I know
up,
that.
Please get your energy up.
It's Thriller Week on Siskel and Ebert in the Movies, and we've got three new ones.
Dennis Quaid in The Big Easy.
But you know what? When I listened to that, Chaz, the last take was great.
You know, Roger said that there came a time when he realized that he and Gene made each other better. Perhaps it would have been better if they hadn't been so angry at each other sometimes, but it wouldn't have been a better show. So, I don't know.
It was really something to see that. I want to finish the other thought we had about the people who felt discovered by them. Errol Morris says that if it weren't for Siskel and Ebert talking up his first film, he wouldn't have made it. And then there's Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay. I think that she is going to be the first African-American woman director nominated for an Academy Award for her movie Selma. She told me that if Roger had not championed her first movie, I Will Follow, that she wouldn't have been given the opportunity to make Selma. You know, she talked about being this little 8-year-old girl who met Roger. She saw him and she started saying, "There's the thumbs up, man. Come over, come over." And she said Roger was so kind to her, and she has a picture of herself with Roger when she was 8 years old.
But then she also went on and credited you, Chaz Ebert. You're an African-American. She's a young African-American director. And she pretty much says that gave Roger Ebert his cred. Let's listen.
Okay. I mean, everybody knows Roger had a black wife. You know what I mean? You know? It's like an honorary brother. I mean, you live with a sister. It's a whole different understanding of black women, right? So maybe you watch my film differently.
I think that Roger was just born that way. I mean, when he would write blogs about different situations, he would get comments saying, "Oh, just stick to movie reviews. How dare you have an opinion on politics or race or religion?" And Roger would say, "I am a citizen first and a movie reviewer second."
Well, we know the end of this film, and here we hear him in this computerized voice that he talks through now.
"This is my 7th time at rehab. This table is weird. I type much, much better at home in my usual chair."
Roger said that he would have been furious if he hadn't gotten to live through the third act of his life. And the third act, he means death. And that if he had been hit by a bus, he would have been so disappointed. Even as difficult as his illness was, he was glad that he got to see it through.
Yeah. Well, not only fully live out his life, but direct it as well. Chaz Ebert, wife of the late film critic Roger Ebert. Chaz, thanks so much for speaking to us about it.
Thank you.